I feel the energy this morning, don't you? I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, Carla, come over here just a little bit further in case on live stream there are people that are watching and it's a beautiful thing so that your interpretation can be seen. Let's give Carla a wonderful hand for her ministry, for her speaking in another beautiful language that shows the love of God. Well, here we are in our third week of our sermon series on Fruit of the Spirit. And it's a beautiful sermon series. And as we stay connected to the source, as we stay connected to the vine, the fruit of God's Spirit will grow in our lives. And I'm talking about the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Now, these are good things, right? We want these to grow in our lives. And even as an apple or an orange or an avocado is growing on a fruit tree, you pluck it too early, it's going to stop growing. But as we stay connected to the vine, to the life source, so too, then we will be able to grow. And as God's light shines in our hearts, and as we allow God's light to shine brightly, just like the sunshine out here today, it'll bring nourishment and it'll bring maturity to the fruit that we're talking about. And to that, I just have to say, oh, joy. Good stuff. Last week, we talked about love being like a gold nugget, something that is valuable, something that is real and something that is authentic. And many times we get confused with fool's gold sometimes when we're looking for something. But we want to stay connected to that source and look for that real, authentic love of God. And sometimes we have to, just like people panning for gold, we have to sift through all of the stuff in our lives that gets in the way of that authentic love. And if we can just go ahead and sift those things out, what's left? Love. That gold nugget of love. Well, today we're going to talk about that fruit of the Spirit that washes over us like a refreshing wave, and that's joy. Think about things that bring you joy. The delight of a sunset over the ocean. Walking into an air-conditioned room on a hot day, that brings joy. Spending precious time with loved ones. All of these moments can bring us a deep sense of joy, can bring us a sense of gratitude. Can you remember some of your earliest memories of joy? I was thinking and I was remembering, oh, Saturday mornings. Did I love Saturday mornings because it was cartoon day? And I would just get up early and I'd be in my pajamas and I would get a bowl of cereal and I would sit on the couch and go from cartoon after cartoon after cartoon. And if I didn't have a bowl of cereal, here's another thing that brought me joy. Sugar and cinnamon toast on that Wonder Bread. With that real butter melted in there. Oh, that is good stuff. And then also hearing the music of an ice cream truck coming around down the corner and down your street. We would run into the house as quick as we could. I need some change. I need some change. So that we could get that popsicle and have a great, great time on a hot summer day. And then I thought of this memory. My grandparents lived in central Wisconsin, and they lived right on the edge of a pine forest. And on a hot summer night, on a clear night when you could just look up and see the stars forever and even see the Milky Way, about sunset, dusk, out would come the fireflies. Oh, that was so beautiful. They would just glow here and glow there, and it was so beautiful to just run around them and try to catch them. And, well, I won't talk about that anymore. But it was beautiful. It's fun to stroll down memory lane, isn't it? But we can't stay there. It's not healthy to stay in memory lane. And it's because joy is not just found in the past. Joy can be found today. Joy can be found in the present. And the truth is, as we all grow older, now notice I didn't say grow up, but as we grow older, that our feelings and our attitudes about what joy is change over time. Joy comes and it goes. It's here one moment, then it's gone the next, it feels like. Kind of like when we go to hospitality and Dolly has brought her homemade goods. They're so good and they just are there one moment, and then they're gone the next. Dolly, thank you for your faithfulness in bringing those goodies. And I want to thank everyone on the hospitality team who works so carefully and diligent for all of us, because they come early and they set up and then they stay after y'all leave and clean up that coffee and that punch. So let's thank the hospitality team. Thank you, hospitality team. As we mature, we recognize that change is a part of life. There are not many constants in life, but change is one of them. Think about it like going to the ocean and the waves that are crashing on the beach. It's a constant thing, over and over. And it's a reminder that change is a part of our life, and it is constant. I'm telling you, this 57-year-old ain't no 20-year-old any longer. It's amazing, and morning by morning, you wake up and you find out that there are different kind of muscles and joints you didn't even know existed before. What in the world? Where did that happen? And then that's just the physical changes, right? Those things happen too. But what about the changes in the soul? We have an awareness of our mortality. We have an awareness that our days are numbered. And so the challenge that is still facing us in the midst of this change, in the midst of pain, is to still look for and experience the joy in the midst of all of the change and all of the pain in life. In the scripture reading today, Jesus said to his disciples, "You will have pain." Well, isn't that a beautiful scripture verse? You will have pain. I wonder when the disciples heard that for the first time, if they just thought, no fooling, Sherlock. You're right, because we all experience pain in our lives. But I like how he goes on to say, but your pain will turn to joy. We got to hold on to the whole story, right? Not just part of it. You will have pain, but your pain will turn to joy. Do you believe that? Do you think the disciples believed that? I did a Google search on joy, and it's amazing what you can find. Author of The Chronicles of Narnia and many different books, C.S. Lewis, talks about his wonderful marriage and with all of its ups and downs. And he writes, when he found out that his wife had cancer and it got to the point where she was dying of cancer, and the immediate grief that started to just overtake him was just so palpable. And he said to his wife, "I don't know how I can live without you. We've had so much joy. We've had so much fun in our lives. And I can't stop grieving. I just can't stop." And his wife said to him, "Honey, you don't get the joy without the sorrow." They're very close, aren't they? You don't get the joy without the sorrow. That's the way it goes. That's just part of the deal, she said. Theologian Henri Nouwen suggests that perhaps there is no such thing as pure and complete joy, that every moment of joy is tinged with a little bit of sorrow. And he goes on to say that in every smile, there's a tear, and in every embrace, there's a little bit of a feeling of loneliness. You know, there are many facets of joy, aren't there? There's many ways to look at that. Well, in the pursuit of finding joy in our lives, there's still the fact of this constant change. Constant change is going to happen in our lives, whether we like it or not. But understanding this helps us have different responses to the reality that we face. So I'd like to just share three different possible responses to this, and I suggest that maybe one might be better than the other two. Here we go. The first possible response to change is that we want to cling to every joy that we get. We want to hold on to the joy that comes into our life. And sometimes we hold on so tightly because we fear it may be the very last joy that we will ever experience. And so we hold on tightly. William Blake, who is a romantic poet of British literature, said this: "He who binds himself to joy does the winged life destroy." Let me say that again. She who binds herself to joy does the winged life destroy. In other words, we can cling to joy. We hold on, and sometimes we grasp it so tightly. And when we grasp it so tightly, it dies in our hand. And sometimes we just hold on to the past. We have just a sense of joy from the past, and we are convinced in our mind that nothing in the present can measure up to the past. I like to call that the good old days mentality. And sometimes there are people that want to just live in the good old days and long for the good old days. And as we hold on to the past, we have a risk of losing joy in the present and not seeing joy in the present. Friends, I want to say that there is no greater joy than the joy of the moment. When you can experience joy in the moment, there's nothing that compares to that. And how beautiful it is when we can joy and experience that joy. Blake goes on to say, "The one who kisses joy as it flies by lives in eternity's sunrise." Isn't that a beautiful description? Kissing joy as it flies by. Not holding on to it so tightly, but as you kiss it when it flies by, because there'll be other joys that will come into your life if you allow them and you look for them. Here's the second possible response to change. It's the opposite of clinging to joy. It's not allowing ourselves to experience any joy. In fact, it's not allowing ourselves to experience any emotion at all, because we want to guard our hearts from any and all joy so that we don't feel the pain. Life is not always easy, is it? Things happen. Right, Cademan? When you least expect it. Each of us can think about that in our own lives. Things happen. We have disappointment. We experience grief. And in order to protect ourselves from the pain, we put up walls and we shut ourselves down emotionally. And when we do that, it leaves an ache in our heart. And given what some people go through, sometimes I do not blame them. Ouch. You can think of moments in your life when you just think, ouch. And when I see loved ones going through pain or going through hurt, oh, every fiber of my being wants to just be able to take it away. And I go, God, why? I don't understand why they are suffering in the way that they're suffering. And I still hold on to that faith. And faith is trust in a God that knows more than I do. And it's still, ouch. Some people try to fill that ache in their heart by abusing alcohol or drugs, or looking to food or sex as a way of escape. And you've heard it before, you can run, but you just can't hide. There are so many different ways that we can retreat from ourselves emotionally. We might say, if I don't feel any joy, then I won't feel any pain. Shutting ourselves down emotionally is not the best response. So here's a third possible response. Live fully in the moment. Live fully in the now. Live fully in the present. Embrace all that life has to give. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came and lived in the moment. Jesus lived in all of the emotions that we experience. And Scripture tells us that Jesus was acquainted with our grief. When you're going through it, you're not alone. That's comforting to me. Even when in the middle of the night, have you ever just woken up in the middle of the night and you just like are in that grief zone? God is there. And I am reminded, and I remind you right now, cry out to the one that cares, that is there, sticks closer than a brother to all of us. Jesus had emotions. He had a friend die. His name was Lazarus. His sister took him to the grave, at the graveside, and when he was there, Scripture records what Jesus did. And in fact, it's in the English Bible, the shortest verse, two words. Let's say it. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Jesus had tears. Jesus had emotion. Jesus experienced the full range of emotions just like us. And when it comes to joy, I'm thinking about this. Remember how in the Gospel of John, it records how on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene was going to Jesus' tomb. She had just seen her best friend, the one who had delivered her out of a life that was really not working for her. And it wasn't a good life. And he was her Savior. He was her Lord. She was grieving because she saw him so cruelly killed on a cross, suffered. She went there to go through the ritualistic pattern of going through the putting spices on the body and just following part of the grieving process that was for her. She goes to the tomb and the body's gone. She's already grieving. Can you imagine what that is like? I mean, she thought it was already bad enough, and then this happens. I mean, it couldn't get any worse. And so she sees the gardener there, and she's really upset. And she's going, what in the world did you do with the body of Jesus? It's not even here. And then she hears her name, Mary. Jesus spoke her name. And she recognized it immediately. And I want you, when you get in those places, to try to quiet yourself and to quiet your emotions so that you can hear your name being called in the midst of that grief, that you are not alone. There is love. There is a Savior. There is one who cares so much for you. This is for you. And I think about what happened when Mary experienced that. Can you imagine the joy in the moment? Turned immediately from that grief, from the bottom of the bottom, to like the elation of joy. Oh, joy! Amazing! You know, we are an Easter people. As we believe in Easter, we are an Easter people. And that means full of the resurrection power and new life, even the power to raise from the dead. And we are on a journey, and it's not a journey of sight, but it's a journey of faith. And that means we are trusting. And we know how the story ends. It might be Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. It might be Friday, and you feel like that Friday has lasted 10 years. But Sunday's a-coming. I want us to hold on to that. Paul knew how it ended. And that's why even in his life, when he was in chains, when he was in prison, and I'm telling you, they didn't have running water. They didn't have toilets. You can imagine what it was like in that prison. He wrote this, "Rejoice in the Lord, always." Rejoice in the Lord, always? And then he probably had to say it again for himself. And again, I say, rejoice. And maybe he's saying it for us. Rejoice in the Lord, always. And again, I say, rejoice. And as we know the end of the story, life can take on a whole new perspective. During the hard times. Actually, especially during the hard times, especially during those times of grief, those times of pain, those times of suffering, when we are going through something that is just completely tragic, maybe it is possible that we can kiss joy as it flies by. Why? Because we are living in an eternity's sunrise. Scripture records that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hold on. That's why we have each other, too. Hold on. Because sometimes we don't have the strength to even do it ourselves, and we can help each other saying, hold on, don't let go. We kiss joy as it flies by in the form of a belly laugh. In the form of a beautiful flower, wonderful music, a delicious meal surrounded by loving people. All of it, whatever it is somehow transformed in our eyes, and we see it all with joy. And we can kiss it as it goes by, knowing that it's not the last joy that we will ever have in our life. And if it happens to be the last joy, guess what? I believe there's greater joy when we pass on to that other side. And I believe in that resurrection hope that we have, that blessed hope of eternity with God. This morning, I encourage you to live in the now. Live in the joy. Experience that as much as you can. Encourage those around you to do that. Make moments of joy with your loved ones. Let it grow in you. Let it be connected. Stay connected to God, the source of our joy, the source of the fruit of the Spirit, so that it will grow and mature in us. And remember what Jesus said to his disciples. Yes, you will have pain. You can count on it. You're going to have pain. But your pain will turn to joy. And that's a promise. And no one can take that away from you. Amen.